o muri a mohoa nei. Unuhia ko te wai o horo tiu, ka pure ka ora. I te takahanga o te rā, ka wau kia pātū, ka tau e.
I'm Sharon Brett Kelly, and today on The Detail I'm here at Auckland Central Library, and I am with Zoe Colling, who is a librarian. Zoe, now this is kind of unusual for me, but you're going to take me on a tour of not the box, but something else. So should we start walking and talking? You can tell me all about it.
Sure, yeah, some books.
Oh, it is some books.
Some
okay,
books, yeah.
Okay, some books.
But mostly magazines, photographs, a manuscript, and ephemera.
Okay, ephemera, what's that?
Ephemera is printed material intended to have a limited lifespan. So some examples of ephemera are posters, leaflets, movie tickets.
So kind of throwaway items, things that we don't really think about.
That's right.
And your actual title, I love it. Tell me what your correct title is here at the library.
Associate Curator Ephemera. So I'm one of two people who care for the ephemera collection held at Auckland Council Libraries. The work involves acquiring ephemera, cataloguing it, and making it accessible to the public, as well as using it in displays like this.
So we have just come through the doors at the library, which says "That's So Last Century," and that is the name of the exhibition here. And where are we going to start?
Well, we could start with the first case.
Yeah. What are we looking at? This is a magazine.
Yes, this is the Mirror, the home journal of New Zealand. It's the cover of the magazine from October 1962. And I was so pleased when my colleague found this, because we decided to use this image as the hero image for the exhibition. It's 1960s, it's a bright yellow jumpsuit. There's also a very interesting kind of cane bag with a yellow ribbon and a yellow hat. We liked it because the outfit could be worn today. There's something timeless about it.
And the little headlines on it say, "The Shy Princess, The Forgotten Woman, Fashions, Personalities."
Yeah, some brief copy there.
Brief.
The magazine was aimed at middle-class women.
Where did your colleague find it?
In this serials collection. Sometimes with exhibitions, we will go to the shelf and browse. I think in this case, she knew about this title. She knew it was visually interesting material. I had never heard of it, but it's an example of one of the many magazines we have.
Yeah, a magazine that's produced in New Zealand. It's called New Zealand's National Journal.
That's right.
And where is the serials collection?
That's a good question.
Building.
That's a good question. There's a few different places. So this particular magazine is kept behind a workroom on this floor. We also have thousands of serials in the basement.
Wow.
That would be where the bulk of the collection is.
Wow.
So members of the public can come in and request to view a lot of the material down there. And it would be reference-only material, so you're welcome to read the magazines in the library, but not borrow them.
And how far back do those magazines go?
Well, if we look at this case...
let's move to the next case.
A good example of the extent of the magazine and newspaper collection is the New Zealand Woman's Weekly.
Hi, I'm Jo Seeger, and here are my easy-peasy mini cheese muffins. You throw everything into the bowl, it's so simple. Quickly mix it together and you get 36 muffins out of this recipe. Very economical. Into the oven for 15 minutes and da-da, they're ready. Great for an after-school treat or dress them up for cocktails. For this easy-peasy recipe and more, see this week's New Zealand Woman's Weekly.
It's wonderful that our public library system holds the complete run and is still getting those issues of that iconic magazine.
Oh, what worry can do to your 55 face muscles?
Some things don't change, hey?
No, we're still worried about those lines.
Yeah. As well as astrology.
I know, astrology. Yeah, astrologer Lindo forecasts for the Beatles. But they have been coming out.
I think they did visit here that year.
John Lennon, William John. Paul McCartney. Ringo Starr. And George Harrison.
I'd like to thank everybody who's come along today for turning up, the sun's shining. So I don't know what we can say really, you know. Just wait to see the Maori dancers. And yes, thank you on behalf of all of us. What? I can't sing.
I think there's possibly a photo in our collection of them near the town hall. Don't want to promise that.
Okay.
But I feel like that's familiar.
What else is, we've got a couple of actual record albums in here.
Yeah. Really wanted to make the exhibition visually interesting and showcase the variety of material held by Auckland libraries. And LPs are great for doing both those things. So Mr. Lee Grant from the 60s.
Yesterday, I was afraid of today, putting me down. That was a game they would play. Then you found me.
And Arija, amazing Auckland-based band. I love the harem pants here.
Oh, yeah.
And the 80s shoulder pads. Yeah. And it's a bonus that it is a signed LP.
So that's a pretty special one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can see the instructions from when these LPs were able to be borrowed and played. So there is some advice, I think. Never leave records in a warm position, e.g. in cars.
A diamond needle must always be used. Okay. Oh, what's this?
These are two photographs, one from the 1960s, one from the 1970s, showing two different wedding scenes. Sadly, we don't know the people in the images. We would love to be able to identify people in our images. And because these were taken during a period of time where people connected to the people in the images are alive now, there's a chance we can have these people identified and then connected back to those families.
So really you're putting the call out to people, come into the library, have a look, you might see a photo of yourself from
1960
years
something.
Ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Years ago, yeah.
And I love this shot, having a bride in a pantsuit in the 70s. We think that's very charming.
Do you think that was, quite radical to be wearing a pantsuit?
I feel like it may have been.
So, Zoe, what was the idea of this exhibition?
When we decide on exhibitions, we usually brainstorm as a group of subject librarian specialists, and we think about recent exhibitions we've had. Like last year we had an exhibition focused on the medieval manuscripts, and that was quite spare, and these items from 500 years ago that we hold here. And we like to contrast exhibitions, so we thought focusing on a more recent time period and showing different collections, like the amazing photographs that we have of people, like these ones on the wall, the Reichenberg Street photographs.
Let's go and have a look at those.
Yeah,
they're pretty stunning. So they're kind of poster size photographs.
Yeah, A1 size. There's 16 of them on two walls. And they were all taken on Queen Street in Auckland in 1960.
Auckland, the largest city in New Zealand, with a population of over 500,000 people. It's a gracious city, well-planned, and still growing fast. Friday night is shopping night, and the city is bustling with people and traffic. Auckland is built on more than a score of volcanic cones, thrown up thousands of years ago.
And what I love about these is how Rackenberg and his team of photographers really captured the diversity of Auckland. There's people from all different cultural backgrounds and economic backgrounds. You can see that from clothing they're wearing. We have these two women who maybe in more 1950s style clothing, so the formal hats. One of them's wearing gloves.
And the old bus in the background and the old car in the background.
Yes, you can see the roadworks.
So nothing's changed there.
Exactly.
And who is Rackenberg?
John Rackenberg immigrated from Holland in the 50s and had photography as a hobby, I believe, and then ended up having it as a career and set up a photography studio on Albert Street. He would take photos of people in public places, like on the street, or we've got photos in nightclubs and coffee lounges, at the waterfront in wharves, farewelling or welcoming people from ships. And then he would give people a card. They could pop into a studio and purchase a photograph.
So, for example, this woman in her beautiful Pacifica-style dress. So what, he'd take a photo of her and then give her a card and say, if you want to buy this photo, come to my studio.
That's right, yeah. And he had a team of photographers. So his wife was part of that team. And, yeah, there were other photographers working for him.
You can sort of see a New Zealand look emerging.
Yeah, I think often we would be not necessarily copying, but would be inspired by trends that were happening overseas. So there are lots of clear links to fashion trends that were happening elsewhere, like hemlines getting shorter. It's neat having a mix of pose shots and candid snaps. So that's the other thing that's quite special about these photographs.
Like there's a gorgeous shot of three boys. They'd probably be about, I don't know, 10, 11, 12, do you think?
Yes.
Imagine them coming back and seeing that. That would be...
Yes, and these three have actually been identified, which is neat. So we know their names. All of these images are accessible via Kura Heritage Collections online. People can search these, and I guess that's how they found themselves.
Yeah, lovely. What else have we got here?
We have a case that looks at some fashion designers in Aotearoa, and we've focused mostly on our photograph collection and magazine collection. And when we highlight fashion designers, we work with what we have, so we're not able to focus on all the wonderful designers we have in this country. We look through indexes, we find articles in magazines, and we look through our photograph collection to find stunning images like this Clifton Firth shot of the interior of Emma Naki's salon on Derby Street. And that story behind her and her family, who were originally based in Taranaki, she ended up sending her illustrations, fashion illustrations, to a group of designers in London. She ended up studying in London and then bringing her family back to Auckland to set up this shop. So very pioneering.
What's your favourite here, being the ephemera specialist, Zoe?
I do love the Rackenberg Street photos, and we do have some neat pieces of ephemera I'm quite attached to. In one of the cases over here, we have it's a lubrication chart for a sewing machine. So this is the home sewing case. Mm-hmm. And this wee manual, when you open it up, it shows you how to oil your sewing machine. So I guess
it's about the size of a postcard, but it's an actual a little pamphlet, is it?
Yeah.
What about that? Because a lot of people would just probably throw that away. What about that interests you?
So it's from 1961. So I love it that it's been kept in such good condition for so long. And I love it how it speaks to how popular home sewing was, and also the technical skill involved in sewing, which can be glossed over, I guess.
Learning how to sew skillfully will give you much pleasure. Besides making beautiful clothes, you can add your own touch of genius to your home.
Personally, I find sewing very difficult. I'm not able to thread a bobbin, and I like it that this piece of ephemera highlights that manual and technical side of the skill involved in home sewing and what you need to do to keep your sewing machine in good nick. The other piece of ephemera I love is in this 1950s and 1960s case, and it's called Smith's Remnant Bargains, and it's actually from a shop in Rangiora. Inside, there are examples of fabric remnants and what you can do with those remnants. So different ideas about what you can make with these scraps. And I just love that idea.
Oh, there's the triangular by New Zealand made.
I guess it's a label.
Label, yeah.
By so iconic, isn't it?
It really is.
And
yeah.
We were trying to date it. It was quite difficult to date. It's from the 1990s. On their website, there's about five different versions of that by New Zealand made tag.
Is that still going?
I don't think so.
No.
Don't think so. So this case looks at manufacturing, and we've highlighted the Cambridge Clothing Company records that we hold. We have a ring binder which has fabric swatches and an example of a man's suit.
Mm.
We actually have a few of the physical suits.
Where are they sitting? Somewhere down in the basement?
They have been carefully cared for by the preservation unit. And when I went to try and look at the suits, they were in an archival box, and there was a note saying, please have a look at the photos instead. If it's for an exhibition, it's much easier to just look through photos. And we decided having one suit in a case when we are a small room would dominate too much.
Uh-huh.
So we've gone with these photos of the factory floor.
So it's interesting. A lot of this stuff is too precious for people to touch. You've got it behind in glass cabinets.
Yes, it's a heritage collection. It's a non-circulating collection. People are able to view these items in our reading room.
Oh, they can. Do they have to put on gloves?
I think the advice now is to have clean, dry hands.
Not wear gloves.
Sometimes gloves can cause more damage because they're kind of fiddly. If you're trying to turn a page, it can be difficult to grasp the corner.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so this exhibition space is our shop front. It's a way for people to get an understanding of what we hold. And then they're welcome to explore more. They can book a time to meet with a librarian to learn more or talk about what they might want to access from our collection.
And do they have to have a reason for it or just
curiosity? No, they don't need a reason at all.
Any chance in going to have a look at where you get these things from? Okay, we're in a corridor now.
So we have a photo store as well, so that's temperature controlled for our photographic collections, including photo albums, 35mm slides.
Dark room.
You can smell
the dark room.
You can smell the chemicals.
You can.
Dark room. Turn on the lights.
Oh gosh. So lots of grey boxes.
Yeah, part of our photograph collection. So in these shelves.
Mm.
We have film negatives, and we have, I think it's over 200 photo albums. Many of our photographs have been digitised and are available via Kura Heritage Collections online, so anyone can browse the photographs like we did to choose images for this
exhibition.
How
many did you browse through?
Thousands.
How long did it take?
It took us 3 months to curate the exhibition, which is short. It's a short length of time.
Huh.
Usually takes 4 to 6 months.
So will all of this eventually be digitised?
No. Like with the Reichenberg collection, for example, there's 1.5 million negatives. So I think there's about 9,000 online. There's a selection process and criteria in terms of what gets digitised. I was talking to my colleague the other day, and she was talking about how she chose to select posters as one of the first things to be digitised from the ephemera collection because they are so unwieldy. And then another priority would be items that are very fragile. So if there's an online version of it, then that, yeah, reduces handling for that precious item.
Such as?
Like, I'm just thinking about some of our early ephemera, like a ball program, or it's probably better called a dance card. You'd hope that archival protection we provide for our items, that they wouldn't disintegrate.
Yeah.
But yeah, having a digital version is very important.
And people just bring these in to you, do they? So I don't know what to do with them, so can you take them?
Yeah, and we do have policies around what we do collect, because what we keep forever. So we have to be careful about what we say yes to.
That's all for the week. I'm Sharon Brett-Kelly, and thanks to Zoe Colling. Now, if you're interested in looking at the exhibition, it's on at Auckland Central City Library until the 13th of July. The detail is funded by RNZ and NZ On Air. This episode was engineered by Ben Pearce, and Davina Zimmer and Gwen McClure produced it. Ka kite anō.